Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back, it's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. David Sandelow is here too, ladies and gentlemen. He's the author of Freedom from Oil. David is a former Assistant Secretary of State and a member of the National Security Council staff at in the Clinton-Gore White House back in the 90s, and his new book is called Freedom from Oil, How the Next President Can End the United States Oil Addiction. I'm looking forward to hearing his thoughts on this. David, welcome to the show.
Glad to be with you, Jim.
It's good to have you here. Okay. This is a huge issue, this issue of our dependence upon oil, our dependence upon, there are multiple touch points here, as you know, David. There's dependence upon oil in general, dependence upon foreign oil, and our carbon footprint, our carbon emissions, what we're doing to the overall environment. So, and there, I'm sure there are others, but it's a complicated, complex issue, isn't it?
Well, it is, but in some ways, I think the solutions are pretty simple. One of them that I'm most excited about are cars that connect to the electric grid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have a whole huge infrastructure for making electricity in this country, you know, with outlets that reach into almost every home and business.
Right.
It does us almost no good in terms of getting off of oil because our cars and trucks can't connect to those electric outlets. And I have been driving around for the past month a hybrid car that plugs into the electric system. I drive into my garage, I plug it into a normal extension cord. I went out driving the other day, went 7 miles, we used less than a tenth of a gallon of gas. The gauge showed that we got 343 miles to the gallon.
Wow.
This technology is here, it's coming.
And how did you enjoy that experience of driving that automobile?
It was great. And here's the two things about electric motors. First, this is a hybrid, which means this car has, just like a lot of them out on the road today,
right.
It's got both an electric motor and an internal combustion engine. So if you ever, you know, it switches over back, you know, one or the other. There's no limitation.
It does it on its own.
Yeah, it doesn't. But a lot of people know this. Electric motors have instant torque. And there's a guy right now who is, he wants to get America off of oil, so he's building.
Right.
He's
look, if you've ever driven an electric golf cart, you know that you touch the pedal and the car moves instantaneously.
You got it.
Yeah.
So you can do that with a sports car type model. It doesn't have to be a golf cart. There's a guy, Tesla Motors is the company, a small company, startup company, and they decided they wanted to help America get off of oil. So they have built a sports car that goes 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds,
wow.
All electric. Now, there is one problem with this sports car in terms of their goal. It costs $98,000.
Right.
I was going to ask you,
how much more did you have to spend for your hybrid?
Well, this one costs about $8,000 to do the conversion, but
yep.
Once now, which is too much. But once these things start rolling off the production line, the extra cost is way down.
look at where we are with other technologies. When I started buying hard drives back in the late '80s, back in the '80s, you know, I was spending $1,000 per megabyte. Now you can buy a gigabyte for $39 or something. So, you know, we all know that kind of technology comes down. But here's the thing, though, and not to try to pick it at your idea, because I think it's a good one, but Newton taught us for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. And one of the things that I've reported in my interviews with the folks at Kiplinger is that if everybody today had a car like yours, it would put a tremendous strain on our electric grid.
Here's the good news. It really won't. And the reason is because we use so much less electricity at night. And if you plugged in these cars at night, you wouldn't need to build many more power plants. There have been some really definitive studies done on this, and I cite mm-hmm. them in my book. In a couple of regions of the country, if we had all of our cars built like this, we might need to build some more power plants. But the strain on the electric grid is almost non-existent. And, in fact, the big utilities all around the country are very excited about this technology because it helps them level out the electric load, which is something that's good from a utility management standpoint. This is a win-win. By the way, it's also very good for the whole carbon footprint issue you were talking about at the top of the show.
Right.
These electric motors put out a lot less pollution than internal combustion engines.
Right. How much? I didn't realize they put out any.
Well, they don't from the tailpipe of the car, but of course the energy has to come from somewhere.
Right.
So when you plug it in, you know.
Indirectly through the source of the electricity. You know, another thing that that a lot of people believe is that we're completely dependent upon foreign oil. Well, we are dependent upon foreign oil, but we're not as dependent upon Middle East oil as we used to be. Don't we get most of our oil from Canada?
Mexico? Well, you're right. It's the single biggest exporter is Canada. And Mexico is usually 2, 3, or 4 right behind. About 12% of our oil comes from the Middle East.
Yeah.
But here, this gets complicated quickly, but I talk about this in my book a little bit. Oil is a fungible commodity traded globally.
Mm-hmm.
It actually doesn't matter that much where the specific oil comes from. What matters is the role of any country in the global marketplace.
Right.
You know, essentially, when somebody hiccups over there in the Persian Gulf, the impact is felt all over the world.
Well, for example, the tension between Turkey and Kurdistan right now is one of the reasons why oil yesterday went to a record high dollar level of $86 a barrel.
Yep, you got it. That's exactly right.
That's a scary number. And only, what was it, 6 months ago it was down to 60 or something like that. I mean, you know, with oil being the oxygen of the marketplace, that kind of an increase is frightening.
Well, and the reason that is so scary, and you got to have to step back actually on this, the reason that is so scary is because our cars and trucks depend completely on oil, completely.
Yeah.
And, you know, we grew up with that, our parents grew up with that, our grandparents grew up with that. We think it's normal, but it's not just deeply abnormal.
It's not just an economic issue; it's a cultural issue, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's something that we, as the world, actually have gotten used to, and it doesn't have to be that way. And I think if we can make cars a connected electric grid, if we can use biofuels too, by the way, which are I think a real good opportunity.
Right.
A lot of people are getting rich in the biofuels industry today.
Right.
We can get off of this complete dependence on 96% of the energy in our cars and trucks are oil. 96%. It's way too much.
I mean, hold on to that thought, Dave. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back with our new friend David Sandilow. His book is called Freedom from Oil, How the Next President Can End the United States Oil Addiction. When we come back, I'm going to talk about not just the president. Let's get the marketplace involved in this, too. 20 after. Stay with us.
Is it that streets are running and try to meet the masses? Go get yourself some cheap sunglasses.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our new friend David Sandilow, soon to be old friend. David will be back with us. He's got a lot more to teach us. He's the author of Freedom from Oil. David, tell us where the book's available, please.
The book is available on Amazon.com right now and BarnesandNoble.com, and it's in bookstores everywhere starting this week and next week. Thanks so much, Jim.
And it was written by, the foreword was written by a senator I admire very much, Senator Richard Lugar of Indiana, Republican of Indiana, someone that I feel is one of the cooler heads in Congress. Congratulations on getting him to do your foreword. Freedom from Oil by David Sandilow, that's Sandalow, if you're looking for him on Amazon or you're Googling him. David, I think what you're saying, and I agree with you, is that this America needs to have a national conversation about what are our values, what are our goals, what do we want to hand to our grandchildren with regard to energy over the next couple of generations, and without too much sacrifice, maybe no sacrifice at all, maybe with some incredible exciting opportunities, we can make a conversion. But here's the problem. It's going to take somebody who can lead us. You talk about the next president. I don't think the current political environment that we have will allow what you want to happen because no, there's virtually no leadership in Washington D.C. today, David, in my opinion, because no one wants to let any wants to ever let the other party get any accomplishments for anything, get credit for any accomplishments.
You know, Jim, I think the Americans.
I'm just very cynical about what's going on right now.
Well, look, I think the American people are going to insist on this. And let me tell you a story. With the help of Senator Lugar, who I admire greatly too, I visited a town in Indiana called Reynolds, Indiana. 547 people up in northern Indiana. And they have decided that they want to be energy independent. And they've been working on it for a couple of years now. It's not easy for a little town to do it, but they.
You mean carbon independent, petroleum independent?
Yeah, they want to get off of using any type of petroleum in their vehicles.
Right.
They're in the middle of corn country, which helps,
mm-hmm.
and so they're making ethanol. And they also, they're a farm town, and they're building a electricity plant that uses manure, and they're going to get off of the grid doing that. But I went and I sat and talked with these guys, and the town president, whose name is Charlie Van Voorst, looked at me and he said, it's hard to get people to believe in something that's never happened before.
Right.
And I think that's one of the biggest challenges in this area. For 100 years, our transportation system has run completely on oil, but it doesn't have to be that way, and it shouldn't be that way. We've paid a big price for the fact that our cars and trucks run only on oil. But I think right now this is an issue that unites Americans. Unfortunately, you are absolutely right that our politics today is destructive, it is petty, and what we need to do is find a way to reach beyond that. I think that this issue is one way to do it. I had lunch about a year ago now with Newt Gingrich, right-wing Republican. And within a few weeks, I had a dinner with Howard Dean, liberal Democrat. But both of these are about 30 people.
And how bad was the whiplash?
It was pretty bad. And those guys are not identical twins, let me tell you.
Right. Yeah, they're not twin sons of different mothers, that's for sure.
Here's the deal. I asked both of them, what should we do about oil dependence? They gave me basically the same answer, those two guys. But, you know, both Newt Gingrich and Howard Dean said this is a big national security problem that we have to address. Both of them said ethanol is a big part of the problem. Both of them said we need a Manhattan Project type effort like we had in World War II to get off of this stuff.
But who's going to lead that? We don't have anybody stepping up to lead that. But are you saying, David? I think you are. That this could be an issue. Do you think this election cycle that one politician could claim this issue and could win with it?
I do, absolutely. And I think that more than one could. I think we should get a competition going about who's going to be the strongest, who's going to make this the biggest priority.
And once it becomes a major part of the platform of both parties, then it becomes in the public domain, doesn't it?
That's exactly right. You know, the founding fathers, in their wisdom in our country, designed a system that requires lots of consensus to move forward on anything. And you got to have people from all around the political system. I think this is an issue where we got consensus. More than 90% of Americans believe that we are too dependent on oil. It's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
We are. You know, every time you go to the gas pump, you realize it. And I think this is a slow pitch softball waiting for the right politician to just
get
it out of the park.
I think the key, though, David, is we got to focus on getting weaned off of oil, and we got to quit beating ourselves up about global warming. Plenty of people, you know, there are plenty of people who disagree on how much the humans are impacting global warming, but the issue that people are beating up on America because of our impact on carbon emissions is, in my opinion, is the wrong way to be headed in this.
Well, look, these things go together. I mean, I think we can move away from our dependence on oil while we solve the global warming problem.
But we've got to do that without throwing the baby out with the bathwater, without wrecking our economy. That's the problem I've got. The United States is less dependent upon oil per dollar of GDP today than it was 17 years ago.
Yeah, that's the good news. And it shows you we can go even further.
But you'll
we've made a lot of progress in terms of our dependence on oil.
But the marketplace has done that, David, not the government.
Well, it's been both. I mean, you know, we in the middle 70s with the oil crisis, we put in place fuel efficiency standards for our cars.
Right.
And between
But the marketplace built responded, and they can do the same thing with what you're talking about.
Yeah. I think
that's the model, I think. Hey, Dave, we've run out of time. Will you come back another day? We got a lot more to talk about.
I'd be delighted, Jim. Thanks so much for having me.
Enjoyed being here. The book is called Freedom from Oil. The author is David Sandalow, and he'll be back, I promise you. Quick break, 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be right back with Beth Melito. Stay with us.
Many things I can define. Occasions, fires, fragments, clutter your mind. In the sense of compliment.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.